Tesov Daf Yudalit Yudalit Amid Aleph. We are up to Yudalit Aleph. We're up to the building Mar Shoyse Mashkin Tanein. I'm sorry. Oichel Rishon Oichel Oichel Sheni. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. So it says there were 18 things.
Which is a small base. Okay, yeah.
Okay, there were 18. This Gemara is in the middle. We are in the middle of the sugya that's teaching us that there were 18 things which they were Goizer, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel took a vote. They took a vote in the Beis Goroin. Beis Goroin. What's going on over here on Zoom? Where are you? Okay, wait. We have to. One second. We got a problem over here. I got a problem over here. They're not here. Okay, give me one second. They're. Did I give him the wrong link? One second. Okay, hold on one second, please. One sec. We got a problem over here.
Yeah.
We have a problem over here. Something here is not right. Something here is not right. I think I gave him the wrong link, that's why. I gave him the wrong link by mistake, it's my fault. That's why. The Shol Zev, you there?
Yeah.
I think I gave them the link to the call, the morning call, instead of giving them the link to...
Hello?
Oh, you're here. Okay, good. What about Shimon? Where's Shimon? I gave you the wrong link. I gave you the wrong link, I'm sorry, it's my fault. I gave you the wrong link.
Man, where are you hiding with me?
Where are you? Should I have been with Shimon? Put on you. I want to see a picture. Let me see a picture.
Now learn undressed.
Okay, everyone is here now. Everyone is here. You know who's here? Rabbi Shol Zev. Rabbi Shol Zev, say hello to everyone. Rabbi Shol Zev. Say hello to everyone. Say hello to Shlom Rabinowitz and Shlom Meister.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
And also, Rabbi Shol Lehman, I want to hear your voice. Please send us a message. Rabbi Shol Lehman.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shol Lehman, we're waiting over here for a voice message from you. Rabbi Shol Lehman, we want to hear from you. Please say something.
Thank
over
you,
here, we want you. Okay, so we're all here now. We're all here now together, Tzvemin.
You guys phone?
What? No, he called in.
Okay, Marcus said hi. We can go now, friend. Let's go.
Where is he? I don't hear hi. I want to hear his voice message. I want him to say, I want a voice message. All right, let's go. I don't see any voice message from him. I want a voice message from him. Vaita. Okay, let's finally learn something today. Yudal and Amin Aleph. Ki yod al keiska. Okay, Yudal and Amin Aleph. We're up to Oichel, Oichel Vishon. It's 7 lines from the top. 7 lines. The Chazah from yesterday. We learned yesterday there are 7 Madregas of Tumah. Yudal and Amin Aleph, Shem. What are you looking funny? Seven lines from the top. We learned yesterday there are 7 Madregas of Tumah. The Aviavois, the Av, the Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi by Paraduma. 7 Madregas of Tumah. Now we're going to review all the 7 halachas. We're going to review these halachas and the 18 things that they were geyser in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Goroin. Okay, for some reason we refer over here to his grandfather as well, the Ganze Yichas. What happened in the attic? They went to the attic. There was a debate between Shammai and Hillel, and they took a vote. And the vote was, Shammai was more numerous than the people who voted in favor of Shammai were more numerous than those who voted in favor of Hillel. And they enacted on that day 18 different things. Let's see. Okay, let's see what are the 8. So here we learn over here. If a person, he eats food, that is a Rishon. Or if a person eats food, that is a Sheni. He becomes a Sheni. The person becomes Tamei. Now, under ordinary circumstances, that's not possible. Because if a person, the only way a human being can become Tamei is by coming in contact with an Av HaTumah. There is no way a person can become Tamei unless he touches an Av HaTumah. So a food that is only a Rishon or a food that is a Sheni, if a person makes contact with these items, technically there is no reason in the world why the person should become Tamei. Yet Chazal said that may be true when you touch food that is Tamei, but if you ingest, if you swallow a food or a liquid that is a Rishon or a Sheni, the person, Midrabanan, this is one of the 18 enactments that took place on that day in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Goroin, he becomes a Sheni. Why? Why is that so? My timer. Gazru Berabon on the Gemara's Tumah. Why did the Rabban enact Tumah on the person's body? The Gemara answers, the Zimnin, there are times the Achal Echlin Tanein, the Shakal Mashkin, the Truma, the Shadi Lepume Yupasalu. Because it could happen as follows. A person can sometimes be eating food that is a Sheni, and he's chewing the food that is a Sheni, and while he's chewing, he takes a glass of wine, a cup of wine of Teruma, and he drinks it. In other words, he's a Kohen. A Kohen is allowed to drink Truma, and he forgets that in his mouth at this moment in time is food that is Tameh, Midin Sheni, and he then takes a glass of Truma, wine, and he drinks. When the liquid of the Yayin enters his mouth, it comes in contact with the food that is a Sheni, and it makes the Truma into a Shlishi. It makes the Yayin into a Shlishi. So this can take place in the person's mouth. So in order to prevent the person from this from happening, Chazal made it very clear, don't even think of eating food that is a Sheni. Because if not for this takana, a Kohen would say, oh, I'm a Kohen, and even though I am Tahar, I am permitted to eat a Chulin that is a Sheni, because it cannot cause me any harm. Being that the food is a Sheni, and a Sheni cannot make a human being into a Shlishi or into anything altogether. So the Kohanim are going to accustom themselves to eat in their home foods that are Tamei, Midin, Sheni. And what did Chazal see would happen? They had the insight to realize that when he would put the food into their mouths, and then they would feel like they're choking, or whatever the situation was, they would need to quickly drink something to push it down. They would grab in the refrigerator the locust bottle of wine, and that bottle of wine happened to be Truma, and Truma can become a Shlishi. And in fact, the liquid really becomes a liquid that comes in contact with a Sheni, becomes a Rishon, and he'll take that liquid and pour it down his throat, and when he puts it into his mouth, there's going to be a piece of the chulin that has not yet been chewed up and swallowed in his mouth, which is still has the status of a sheni, and it's going to contaminate the truma and make the truma into a shlishi, which it can become. And then when he swallows truma that's a shlishi, he's going to be chayev misa b'dei shemayim. A kohen who eats truma that is tmeya is chayev misa b'dei shemayim. The zim diachal ochlin tmein v'shakel mashkin de truma v'shadi lipumei. And that is why Chazal stepped in and they said, do not even dare put into your mouth food that is a sheni. And if you do so, we're going to make a special enactment. We're going to make you into a sheni. Okay, next. Shoyse, mashkin, temein, my time. Now we go to the second takana. The second of the 18 takanas was Chazal said, if a person drinks liquid that is a rishon or a sheni, likewise, he becomes a sheni. Same exact thing as with regard to a food. My taima, gozru be rabbanon tuma. If a person drinks a food that's a rishon or a food that's a sheni, he becomes a sheni. Same exact answer. De zimnin, sometimes the shasemashkin tameim. A person will drink liquid. So here it's going to be he's going to be drinking liquid that is tamei. The shakel oichlin de truma. A koyin will then take a piece of food that is truma, and put it into his mouth, and the food will make contact with the liquid that is in his mouth, which is a sheni, and in turn will contaminate the truma. So the Gemara says, Hainuhach. So why are these two halachas counted as two? Both of these are extremely similar in concept. Chazal will go there, do not put into your mouth a food or a beverage that is tamei, because it's a gzera, not to cause truma to become tamei in one's mouth if he is a kohen. So both of these concepts are pretty much the same. Liquid, solid. Why do we need to count them as two? The Gemara says, ma desema ha shchichi v'hola shchichi. You might make a mistake and say that it's common to drink. In other words, maybe the only time Chazal made the takana they should have made was you're not allowed to eat. Do not eat a food that is a rishon or a sheni. Because it's very common when you're eating, you're going to grab a beverage to swallow to push the food down. But it's not very common that when a person is drinking, they're going to grab a solid food and put it in their mouth at the same time when the liquid that they're drinking has not yet been swallowed. So maybe Chazal will not be so strict to enact the prohibition of or the halacha that if a person consumes a beverage that's a rishon or a sheni, his body becomes a sheni, because the only reason why they did make that gezerah was to protect the food of teruma. Do not put into your mouth a solid food of teruma, will become tamei when it makes contact with the liquid. So maybe, therefore, there's no reason to make that takana because it's very, very rare. Kamash melon, that's not so. It happens. Believe it or not, stranger things have happened in this world. People have done outrageously strange things. I could tell you my Shimon Obermeister, what he did when he was in yeshiva. Strange. I just wanted to see that you're listening over here. Very good. Okay, Vaita. Vaita in the Gemara. Next sugya. There's a halach that a person puts his head and most of his body in mayim shuvim, he becomes a sheni. If he goes swimming, here, if you go into a swimming pool, you become a sheni, because the water in the swimming pool is usually mayim shuvim, my taima. Why did the rabbanon make such an enactment? My taima goes with rabbanon tuma. Amar bibi ba amar biasi shebetchilah. That is a very important halacha. This halacha is nogeh halacha lemaisa every single mikvah in the world. Shebetchilah in the beginning, how you tell them b'mei ma'aras. It used to be in the olden days that people would go to mikvah in the caves, which were mechunasin useruchin. The caves were covered, they were concealed, and they were filthy dirty. Going into a filthy dirty mikvah is a danger. Hygiene, okay? They shut down now all of the mikvahs. V'hayunoistim, so what did they do? V'hayunoistim alei mayim shuvim. And what they would do is they would put upon them mayim shuvim, which the Gemara literally here, if you take the word, the word's going to explain over here means they would put on their body. Okay, it means over here, after they came out of the filthy, dirty mikvahs, they would take a shower. They would put upon their body clean tap water to clean them from the bacteria that their body picked up in the mikvah. Hischilu v'asum keva. And what happened very quickly, people began to make, the Gemara is going to explain this, they began to make a mistake and think that the ikur tahara in the mikvah is not immersing in the cave water, but it's taking the shower. So because of that, people began got misled. The Gemara is going to elaborate by thinking that the ikur part of the mikvah is the shower, not going into the mikvah. Therefore, gozru aleihem tuma. They basically said, do not take a shower when you go to mikvah. When you go to mikvah, you go into the dirty mikvah, and that's right, too bad for you. You have to let the dirty water of the mikvah remain upon you to remain in the state of tahara because of this issue. Frank the Gemara, elaborate more. My keva, what exactly does it mean that hischilu began va'asu'um keva? What exactly do you mean by this statement? Amar Abaya, shohayu oimrim, the common man would say, loy elu mitaharin, Elo elu ve'elu mitaharin. People began to think a lamdas. It became big lamdan in the mikvah. In the mikvah is where you hear all of the gossip. You want to know all the secrets of the world, what's going on in Saudi Arabia, and what's going on in the back offices of the government of China, you'll find out in the mikvah. All the gossip is there. They became such lamdanim there, they came up with a schiddush that the tahara of the mikvah is a two-step process. First, you go into the dirty, filthy cave water, and then you take a shower. And only together, tzevenim, do you have a tahara. Amalei Rava. So what's so terrible? What is so terrible if the average person makes a mistake and thinks you have to do both? The bottom line is, he went into the mikvah. He believes you have to go into the mikvah. Adarabah. He knows you go to the mikvah, and he knows you take a shower to be clean, hygiene. My nafkamina. Ha-kotal b'hanach. So the Gemara says, you're right. That was not the lumness of the people who go to the mikvah goers. That was not their mistake. Ella Omar Rava Shayu Oimrim Lo Elu Mitaharin. Ella Elu Mitaharin. They began to say that the Ikar Tahara of the mikvah is taking a shower. Taking a shower. So here's the question. We all go to the mikvah, and they all go to the mikvah, and you go to the mikvah, or you see a good person, a good, responsible person goes into the shower twice. He goes into the shower before he goes into the mikvah in order not to bring his filth into the mikvah, to make it dirty so someone else should get sick who goes later. And then when you come out of the mikvah, you go take a shower again because of the people that did not have derech eretz and went into the mikvah without taking a shower. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach would actually say that. He actually made that statement. He takes a shower before and a shower after. He takes a shower before midin derech eretz. It's not derech eretz to go into the mikvah before you take a shower. Even if you think you're clean, there's always some bacteria that you picked up on the way into shul. And therefore,
why don't we say that people are going to say that here's the shower? Just
okay, like, so we'll come in 1 second. Come in 1 second. One second. So let's look for the igur. So he would say that I take a shower before I go into the mikvah, midin derech eretz. And I take a shower when I come out of the mikvah because of the people who do not have derech eretz and who have made the mikvah dirty, and there is filth in the mikvah. And when you come out, now you come out of the mikvah, you're coming out with their bacteria on your body, even though they put in the mikvah chlorine and this and that. You never ever know. Unfortunately, there are many people who have got hepatitis. Is that what it's called?
Hepatitis?
No, what's it called? The leg. Not hepatitis.
Oh, not hepatitis.
I'm sorry. Cellulitis. How do you pronounce it?
Cellulitis.
It's associated with
fever. It's a terrible thing. Gefährlich. And some of the doctors say it comes from the mikvah. Therefore, you take a shower twice. Okay, so now what's the big question? The big question is, why bizman hazeh are we allowed to do this? Why are we allowed to do this bizman hazeh when the Gemara says beferish, you're not allowed to do, the people are going to come to make a mistake and say that it's not the mikvah that's matar, it is the shower, that's matar. So the answer, so the truth is, it's a very big machlekes ha-poiskim. There are poiskim that say that it's a real problem. Now, I don't know how they deal with it, I don't know really the answer, but the heter, the main heter why we do it, bizman hazeh, is many poiskim say this halacha was only said regarding teruma. Oichle teruma. Today, no one is eating teruma. The people, the kohanim, who would go to mikvah in order to eat teruma, they went very often, and they would say that that's not the mikvah that's metaher, it's the shower that's metaher. Today, no one is begeder oichle teruma. People are going to mikvah are noshim, deraisa, anida. Men are going to mikvah because of balkari, tilas ezra, or because of tosefes kedusha. No one today is going midin oichle teruma. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Moshe says this. The male, that's why bezman hazeh, ruba de ruba, the proper thing to do, especially in the environment that we live in, is indeed to go to take a shower twice, once before and once after. Now, it could be, I don't remember recall exactly, I didn't have a paper, it could be that because of this issue, there are people that delay taking a shower immediately. They go to mikvah, and they just wait, like whatever, a couple of minutes, they just sit there in the mikvah, and they wait a couple of minutes before they take this shower afterwards, and because of this inyan is only if you go into the mikvah, and you immediately take a shower. But if you delay 2-3 minutes, Then it's not an issue. So again, the two hetedim are meikar is this halacha daf yudalit amud aleph in Masechta Shabbos that talks about this issue is only for oichle teruma bizman hazeh. That's not an issue. And the second heter is enechnami to delay a few moments, or it could very well be that it's bottled. This takana, for whatever reason, we're not nizir today in tumah v'tahara. The whole halacha, these halachas, for some reason they became. I don't know exactly. Okay, it's something interesting to look into. I have a sefer at home, a whole sefer on this topic of what is the heter of going to a shower after coming out of the mikvah. Okay, next sugya. Next sugya is the haba roishoy v'rushoy. We did. I'm sorry. Next piece. Okay. V'tar shenafal avav roishoy v'rushoy shlugim. Okay. Next halacha. Okay. Almost 2/3 down. V'tar, a person who is tar. Shenaflu al roishoy v'ruboy shloish lugamayim. One of the yudches dvarim, they were geyser in the aliyah of Chananya ben Chizkiah ben Goraim, is a person upon whom 3 lugim of water have come upon his head. Mayim shulim becomes tameh. Okay, so think about it. A person tefilas Ezra, you pour in your body 9 kabin, 9 kabin. But if you only pour in your body 3 kabin, then adarab you're making
3 kabin.
What?
I'm sorry, you're right.
Shloish shalugim, sorry, maybe it's a very small amount. Shloish shalugim, I am shuvah, my time goes to be rabban tuma, the eloi ho loi kaimaha. So the Gemara says, we don't really understand that. It's hard to really understand this. But basically, if it's totally zebizeb, if Chazal would not be goyze, this takana of 3 lugim that were poured upon a person's head, then the other takana of immersing in a bathtub would not have any kiyum. In other words, it's very common to pour upon your head a small amount of water. It's not so common to go immerse yourself in a bathtub. It's not so common. So if the only takana was that if you immerse yourself in a bathtub, you become a sheni, people would very quickly forget about that halacha because it's not done every single day. It's done, okay, you go to the mikvah. In a dirty mikvah, people had a special reservoir to go in and clean themselves off. But pouring on your head 3 lugim of water, which is all not all that much, and it was a common way to clean yourself, to refresh yourself, was something that was much more common. It had to be enacted, this takana, in order to serve as a reminder that if you dip your entire body in mayim shuvim, you'll also become tamei. Okay, so this pour, you always find the difference between pouring water over your head and immersing. You find that the para aduma, how much water do you sprinkle upon a person? A mashahu. You sprinkle upon a person the smallest amount of water, of the paraduma water, and he becomes tar. Yet, when you go to mikvah, you have to immerse every single mashahu of your body to be tar. It's mamash apela. There's no shear to the paraduma water. Even the smallest amount is enough to bring tahara to a person from tumas hames. Yet, when you immerse in the mikvah, if you leave out even one here, you're not mekayim the mitzvah, there's no tahara. It's mamash mikotze elakotze. So too, when it comes to going to mikvah, you know, we go to mikvah, there's also pouring upon your body tisha kabin. And here we're finding another example of pouring water, you're pouring three lugim, there's going to be tumah. Okay, by the way, right, so everyone should know that Rabbi Shaul Zev's mother and parents, they operated a mikvah on the west side for many, many years. And Rabbi Shaul Zev, his mishpacha, is from the mishpachas that brought to Klal Yisrael Tahara. So when we see Rabbi Shaul Zev, we have to have a very special respect, a very special hakaras hatayv, that his mishpacha was marbe, was meiser nefesh. He has a lot of very, very interesting stories. It's a very big avodah to take care of a mikveh. You can't even begin to imagine the nesyonos and the obligations and the calls you get in the middle of the night, all these things that go on. And Rabbi Shaul Zev's mother, may she be gesund and well, she's mamish moiser nefesh for the tahara of Klal Yisrael. It's a very, very special zuchus, a very, very special thing. We're zoiche to have in our midst such a holy mishpacha. And in this zuchus we should have yeshus nechomos, and Hashem should send them incredible bracha. And Rishol Zev, we should have a year of simchas by you. Looking forward to very, very much. Vayit in the Gemara. Vayit in the Gemara says, v'sefer.
Again, could you repeat about the shleisha lugim?
I'd rather repeat about your mother. I'd rather repeat the thing about your mother.
Okay, mate.
The shloish posh it. If you take three lugim, you ever see a baseball game? The baseball players on a hot day, they pour over their head a bucket of water. The ice bucket challenge, ASL? Rachmana Litzlan, with people that are very sick, so what do? They pour over their heads a bucket of ice cold water? Is that what they do? Shimon, what do? The ASL...
It wasn't like that, but okay.
The ASL challenge, what's it called?
It was a cold ice bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge, the people, they would raise money.
It was just retardation.
Yeah, but they raise a lot of money. It raised money and awareness for people, Rachmana Litzlan, that are very, very sick, with a gefer lecha and machala. So they raised a lot of money with this crazy mishagas to pour a bucket of ice cold water over your head. Everyone was shamed into doing it. Even the President of the United States had to do it. The ganze Welt had to do this. You know what I'm talking about? You don't watch these Narisha videos online, but the ganze Welt.
And it helps people that are ill.
No, it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. It's just a mishagas in order to raise awareness, and to raise money.
Oh, I see.
People would get up in front of it.
Instead of biking for 180 miles, you pour an ice cold bucket over your head.
You get up in front of a camera and you say, I'm giving $1,000 for this cause. And I'm taking this bucket of ice cold water, they're going to pour it over my head, I'm going to be dressed in my nice suit, my Shabbos clothing, and someone pours a bucket of ice cold water. And then you say, after you do that, you are entitled, it entitles you to say, Mr. So-and-so, I've done it, I hereby challenge you to do it. And you basically shame your friends. And then it goes viral. And this yukul challenged the President of the United States. What about you? So the President of the United States says, you know what? If he gave $1,000 and did it, I'll give $10,000. And I'll also do it. And they take a bucket of ice cold water, they spill it over his head. So all I want to tell you over here is that when you do this, you have to realize you need to go to the mikveh afterwards. Because a person who pours a bucket of ice cold water, three lugim of mayim, you have to look at everything from the lens of Chazal. A guy who pours a bucket of ice cold water in honor of the people who are Rachmana Litzlan sick has to go to mikvah. They become a sheni. Because it says here in the Gemara that if you pour three lugim of mayim shuvim, it's a halacha, you become a sheni. Otter the halacha of going to. If you're not, because it's totally, it's, if you're not going to do this, then you're not going to be able to be the other halacha of the, if a person immerses in a bathtub, his entire body, people are not going to know, remember the halacha that you become a sheni. They're totally zebezeh.
Well, they're not going to remember that what?
If you immerse your entire body in a bathtub of mayim she'uvim, tap water,
okay.
You become a sheni.
Yeah.
You become a sheni. So
correct.
People are not going to remember that halacha because that does not happen on a daily basis. That only happens occasionally. But pouring water, a bucket of water over your head happens every five minutes.
Vayta,
the sefer. The halacha is if you touch a sefer Torah, you become a sheni. How do you like that? Chazal will go that the Sefer Torah is Tom. If you touch it, become a sheni. The Sefer, my time goes to be Rabban. Now, I take it back. You don't become a sheni. The Sefer Torah is a sheni. If you touch the Sefer Torah, nothing happens to you because the person cannot become Tommy unless he comes in contact with an Avatoma. So the person touches a Sefer Torah, truthfully, but if Teruma, that can become a Shlishi, makes contact with a Sefer Torah, the Truma becomes Tommy. Okay? It becomes Tommy. The Sefer, my time, it goes to Rabbanim Tuma. Why is it so that Rabbanim goes to Tuma on a Sefer Torah? Omar Mishashia, Shabbatrila. Because what they would do is people had in their home truma, and in their home it's tame. There's a lot of people running around the whole day in your house making trouble, doing all these crazy things. So what would they want to do? They wanted to put the truma, which is tar, in the place of tahara. So where is the place of tahara? In the shul. You come into the shul in the middle of the night when no one is there, and you put your truma in the Aron HaKodesh. Because if the Sefer Torah is Kodesh and the Truma is Kodesh, so it's a good zivug, it's a good shidduch. To put Kodesh.
They didn't want the Truma to be exposed to Truma, okay?
So they want to put in a place of Kedusha. So what happens? So the rodents, the mice, they get sense that in the Aron HaKodesh is food. So the rodents, they break into the Aron HaKodesh and they eat the food. And when the food runs, when the food runs out, what do? They nibble on the Sifrei Torah for dessert. So by putting food in the Aron HaKodesh, boys, I just got a message on my screen that I'm a cheapo. I have not paid for Zoom for this free service. So they plan on shutting me down in 10 minutes. You may have to reboot. We'll see what happens. If you're cheapo and you don't pay for the service, there's something like a 40-minute time limit, which means you have to just start again. I don't really know what happens. We'll see what happens. But if this continues to happen, I'll just use the shuls, because the shul has a paid service, which this does not happen to. I would ordinarily use it, but they have a shir at night sometimes, a lady's shir at night sometimes, and their account is being occupied, so I can't use it at night sometimes. We'll figure it out. But just in case you get that message, be aware, no problem. Just restart it, and it will be fine. Vita. Eight cells of Ramu, they said, well, they were high Kodesh.
If truma
touches a sefer Torah, then the truma becomes a shlishi. By the other one, they said high kodesh for high kodesh. A sefer Torah is holy.
They're gonna put it for safekeeping
in the Aron HaKodesh. Right.
Okay.
So in order to keep the truma out of the Aron HaKodesh, okay. You think people put strange things there in HaKodesh. High Kodesh for High Kodesh. Since they saw that people were putting their truma there in HaKodesh, and therefore the rodents were coming and they were eating away, they were nibbling on the Sefer Torah for dessert. Gozru be Rabbanon Tuma. Next, the Hayodayim. This is the most practical halacha, Hal Bezman Hazeh, Yodayim. Stam Yodayim are Shinyos. That's why we make a bracha every single morning. Asher kedushan b'mitzvot tzal natilas yodayim. Rabbi, it's a very important halacha. If you wear gloves, if you go to sleep wearing gloves at night, then your hands are tar. The Gra, they say, I don't know if it's true. He never told me, but the Vilna Goyin wore gloves when he went to sleep, so that when he woke up in the morning, he could continue learning without any hefsek. The average person, when they go to sleep, they touch a part of the body that's not clean, so they're not allowed to continue learning Torah until they wash their hands. So if you, there used to be that in ancient times, like very important, we today, when we wake up in the morning, we say, Moida'ani lefonecha melechai v'kayom shechazarte b'nishmasi b'chemlo rabba munasecho. Who invented this nusach? The Ge'oinim. The Ge'oinim lived only 1,000 years ago. What did they do before the time of the Ge'oinim? What did you say when you woke up in the morning? And the answer is, when you woke up in the morning, the first thing that came out of your mouth was a bracha. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tohari atov v'rasata yitzarata nefachta bi atom shamik v'atosid little of the many v'achzir bi. You say a bracha. You say Hashem's name. This was what we do every morning. You wake up in the morning, you make a bracha l'kai neshama. There it's moida ani l'fanecha. You say the words moida ani in the bracha l'kai neshama. Why did the Goyim tell Klal Yisrael to stop doing that? Because people, when they went to sleep, they lost discipline. And their hands began to wander in their dreams. It used to be people knew how to sleep in a state of discipline. And they can be certain that when they woke up in the morning, their hands did not touch a part of their body that was meant not to be touched.
What about the tumah that falls upon the hands? The tumah
of Misa is not significant enough to prevent you from learning Torah. You're making a very good point. This tumah sa'amim, living in chutz la'aretz, this tumah in the air. But that tumah that devolves upon a person when he goes to sleep is not significant enough to prevent you from learning Torah and davening. What is significant? Touching a part of your body that's not clean. So they decided that people can no longer guard themselves when they sleep at night. They told the person, don't make a bracha anymore. First wash netilas yadayim. But we want you to thank Hashem for waking up the next morning. So they misakin a new nusach. A nusach that does not have in it the shame Hashem. So this is Nogea. This piece of Gemara is the most Nogea in the entire Shas. There's no piece of Gemara. You're learning over here in Daf Yudal and Alf from Masechta Shabbos, a piece of line of Gemara that is the most relevant piece of Gemara in the entire Shas. 2,711 Daf, this line here. How do you know this? Because when you wake up in the morning, the very, very first thing, when you're in the morning, you cannot say Eloikai neshama shenasata bi. You know why? Because the hayodayim, they were goyzer adin sheni on the yodayim, v'bnesha hayodayim askoni yoysein. They wander. They're busy. They're machers. The yodayim are machers. They're always in the wrong place at the wrong time, and therefore they're not clean. They're a sheni, and because they're a sheni, if stam yodayim touch, if your hands touch food, it makes into a tumma to shlishi. You're not allowed to, your hands that are dirty, that are shniyos, you're not allowed to make a bracha. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You have to first wash your hands. Vaita. Tadal nebraisa, af yadayim mahabois machmas sefer, poisle sechuma. Another halach, another one of the 18 things. If your hands touch a sefer Torah, now we only learned before that the sefer Torah itself is a sheni, but that would imply that because we do not want you to put the tumah next to the sefer, but let us say the sefer, you touch a sefer Torah, and then your hands touch tumah, it is mashma, nothing happens to the tumah. No, nutakana. They made another gezerah, that if you touch a sefer Torah, and then you touch food, then the tumah becomes a shlishi. Why? They don't want people touching sefer Torah. They want people to have a little bit of respect for the sefer Torah. Af yadayim habos machmas sefer poislois es hachumba. Mishum de riparnach. Why? Riparnach. Dem riparnach am riyachdanach. Eiches if there are a person that holds on to a sefer Torah naked, nikbar orum is buried orum. Frag the Gemara. Orum sal kadait. Doesn't mean the person can be buried naked. Ela omer abzera orum below mitzvahs. It means he's orum without any mitzvahs. All of a person's mitzvahs disappear. Frag the Gemara. What? Beloy mitzvah sal kedai. That's not fair. Just because a person touches a sefer Torah, the cloth of a sefer Torah, he loses all of the numerous mitzvahs that he's done in his entire life. And when they put him in the ground, he has no mitzvahs. Ela ema orum beloy oisa mitzvah. Now, what does it mean, oisa mitzvah? So I saw over here Rashi. I saw something I never saw before in my whole life. Something new over here. Everything to me is new anyway. So Rashi doesn't say anything over here. There's no Rashi over here. Is there a Tais over here? Beloy, look at the Taisus. Look at the Taisus, the very, very last line. Beloy oisa mitzvah. Im oicha zoi lil moid boy. Ein loy schar al oisa limut. The im beshvil goy liloy. Ein loy mekabel socher al haglila. If you get hagba, and you touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah, you do not get the reward for hagba or glila. Hagba glila, same thing. And then Rashi's the first part shot, if you take the Sefer Torah to learn from. I want to learn from the Sefer Torah. So they say that the girl of only going to the Sefer Yamav, he only learned from a Sefer Torah. He did not learn from a Gemara. He did not learn from a Shulchan Aruch. He took out of the Ordah HaKodesh the Sefer Torah and he read the Sefer Torah and his brilliant mind that knew everything there was to possibly know, he was able to see in the oisyes of the Torah, kol ha-Torah kula. If a person takes out a Sefer Torah to learn, and you do not, and you touch the Sefer Torah Orem, you do not get schar for the mitzvah. Okay, so I saw it. I think in the Masechta, the way he presents it is when you lay. Let me. This is the point I'm making. When you do Kriya Satorah is the ultimate geder of limud Hatorah. Okay, unfortunately, we think that Kriya Satorah is no big deal. Big deal. You go to shul, the laning, you pay attention, you don't pay attention. Okay, I used to, years ago, when I was a kid, everyone used to look in the back of the Siddur when they, Monday, Thursday, when they laned Kriya Satorah. Everyone opened up the Siddur to the back and looked, put their finger on the place and looked. Today, I look around, very, very few people are interested in putting their finger on the place and following along Monday, Thursday, and even Shabbos with Kriya Satorah. They're just burnt out. What's learning? Oh, you go to Kollel. You go learn the Daf Yomi. You're a Dirshu Yid. You learn. You take Bechinas and Gan Shas. That's learning. But Kriya Satorah? Come on, Kriya Satorah Monday, Thursday. That's for the birds. No, unfortunately, that's a very terrible thing to say. But that's what's happened. This is a Gefer Lecha mistake. The Ikur Talmud Torah in Klal Yisrael is Kriya Satorah. This is the Ikur Shabi Ikur. It's Talmud Torah D'Rabim. I know now, one of the biggest tsaros now, they shut down every shul in the whole world. There's no Talmud Torah D'Rabim. The Ikur, there's no Kriya Satorah. It's a Bama Shukafer L'Chotzar. What's worse? Not davening with a minion? Uh-oh. You there? Hello? Anyone there? All you guys got locked out? Shul Lehman, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you called in again?
Yeah.
You had a call in?
Yeah.
You had a call in again?
Yeah, sure. I said goodbye. I heard like a few.
Oh, yeah. So I also had to log in again. Okay, you're good. Okay, you're good. You logged. Hello? You called in. Yeah, okay. Yeah, hello? Hello, you there? Yeah, okay. Okay, go. Okay, you're there. Okay,
they didn't
log in yet. Okay, they have to log in. They have to get the code to log.
Oh, okay, you're gonna wait for them. Okay,
very good.
Okay, he's back. Right. Who's back?
We're all here.
Okay, how come I can't see you? Okay, now I see you. Okay. All right, we got to figure out a solution to this problem. Okay, but think about it today. What's the big tsar today? Okay, oh. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I was talking to a rabbi before. Is it you're not davening with a minion, or is it because you're not hearing Kriya Satorah? So I would say the minion, right? The big problem is you're not davening with a minion. It's not true. In the eyes of Chazal, it would appear to be the bigger problem now. Davening with a minion, in the Gemara, it doesn't seem like that everyone davened every day with a minion. Baruch Hashem, today, we're very makbid to daven every tefillah with a minion. But in Chazal, you don't find...
I know a lot of big people looking around for Kriya Satorah Shabbos.
What do they do? What do you hear?
I know a few big people who are walking around looking for Kriya Satorah.
And did they find? How could it be? Well, all of the Rabbanim were Goyzer, there should not be Kriya Satorah. They were Goyzer...
No, Goyzer shouldn't be Minyanim.
No, they were Goyzer, no shtick. This is not a mahalik. No chochmas. Ein chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein etza neger Hashem.
I don't know if it's a shtick, but one of my friends had a Sefer Torah with three people. And
that's not Kriya Satorah. That's not Kriya Satorah.
Very good Kriya Satorah, yeah.
That's not Kriya Satorah. What? That's not Kriya Satorah. That doesn't count as Kriya Satorah.
Why not?
You have to have a minion. First of all, who even says they're allowed to take out a Sefer Torah for that? There's a whole shilah if you're even allowed to take out a Sefer Torah if you don't have 10 people. It's a bizarre to the Sefer Torah.
Maybe he had 10, I'm not sure. Maybe he had 10.
There's a whole shilah even allowed to take out the Sefer Torah if you don't have 10 people. There are a lot of halachic yanim. What?
What's the difference?
What?
He had it in his house. You're not allowed to take it out?
No, you're not. You're not allowed to open up a Sefer Torah and read from it unless you have 10 people. This is the old shilah for Purim, for Parsha Zohar. It's a whole shaila. It's not, and so then at the Yaftan, you have to make the bracha. So you have Kriyas HaTorah. But Kriyas HaTorah, Chazal HaMasakin, part of Shachris. Let's get Kriyas HaTorah just in the middle of the week. Kriyas HaTorah is a Zman. It's a lot of very heavy-duty shailas about what doing this. It's not at all poshut. And especially when all the Rabbanim say not to do it, what are you doing? What are they playing games over here? This is Shaloi Kedin, 100% Shaloi Kedin. In Chochma v'in Tfun v'in Eitzim Neged Hashem. So you don't have Kriyas HaTorah. If that's what it's supposed to be, it's not supposed to be. The big shaila is going to be when Mirtz Hashem, when we're back in business, to open up the shuls, what are we going to lane? This Shabbos, I really thought in my heart that this Shabbos, the shuls would be open already. So what would you lane the Shabbos?
It could still happen. You never know.
What would you lane the Shabbos? How many parashios? So in Shulchan Aruch it says you can lane two. You can lane two parashios. Can you lane three? Vayakel, Pekudei, and Vayikra. And what about spanning? You're spanning two chumashim. Who says that this halacha, you can lane two parashios, applies when you're spanning of Shemois and Vayikra? What about Parashas HaChodesh? There's no one in Flatbush that heard Parashas HaChodesh. Can you lane Parashas HaChodesh the next week? Okay, what's going to happen if we don't lane, there's no shul open until the next week, until Parashas Sav? How many parashas will we lane? Four parashas? Not Mestaver.
So instead of laning Parashas Shmini 20 times, we'll lane each separate parashas?
I don't know what the answer is. There will be a universal psach that will come down from the Gedolei Yisrael what to do. Mestama, the Gedolei HaPoskim will issue a psach, a klora psach, when the shuls are opened up finally, exactly what to do. What is the consensus of the Poskim? Because it's not so similar, there are different opinions. It appears the Aruch HaShulchan is very makel on this. Aruch HaShulchan basically lets you do whatever you want. So according to him, it can very well be that with this Shabbos, we're not going to have a minyan, and when this first start up next Shabbos, Parashat Sav, if we're lucky, I don't even know if that's going to happen, then you're laying, can you imagine, you're laying Vayakel, Pekudei, Vayikra, Tzav, and Achodesh? Wow! That's going to be a long minyan. Where are you going to get a Baal Kriya that's going to lay in all four Parashios?
Okay. I'll stay home that week.
But over here it says over here if a person's oichei sefer Torah orum, he doesn't get the sechar of limud haTorah. What's limud haTorah? When is he oiches? He's oiches for galila, hagba galila. He loses the sechar of the kriyas haTorah upon which he did galila. They lain in shul.
By the way, I just want to interject. Ancient times, Hakba, the one who went Hakba, went Galila.
Also the Galila, right.
Everything.
They do that. Some of the Rebbes.
Right, right. He used to do it on his lap.
In the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, they still do that. If you go to the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, the Spanish...
Spanish-Portuguese synagogue?
Yeah. That shul has a regular... No. In the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, even though it's a shul of Sfardim, they have the same Sefer Torah like us. They don't have those. They don't have those big things. They have the regular sefer Torah like us.
Not in a box.
And the one that does Hagba, after he does Hagba, he puts the sefer Torah back down on the bima, and he does Galila,
really?
And he ties it up himself.
Really?
Yeah. They have
Very
a lot of
nice.
Interesting minhagim.
That's how it used to be. Wow.
They do the. They don't say. They don't have chazar sashatz for musaf. The shatz immediately begins chazar sashatz. Everyone listens. The Beis Yosef says, don't
Musaf.
No one davens Musaf themselves. The Shliach Tzibur says
really?
The Musaf. The Beis Yosef talks about this minig and he says not to do it. The Beis Yosef
really?
Writes about people who do this and he says the minig toss, don't do it. But they do it. Okay, weiter.
He just loses the mitzvah of
whatever he's oisek in. So Tyson, right? So Tyson, that's what Tyson says. Taisa says you lose the limud haTorah, you lose the limud haTorah, and you lose Hagba Galila. So, but
is
what?
If he was learning from it, then he'll lose it. I don't know if he's.
I'm telling you that the pshat, the limud over here is the kriyas haTorah, because the kriyas haTorah is the ikur. The kriyas haTorah is the ikur limud. It's the ikur limud haTorah. You know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a murdik sefer called what's it called Birchas Peretz, I think it's called, on Chumash. Do you know when he's mechadish all of those chidushim in that sefer? Every single thing in that sefer came into his head during Kriyas HaTorah. Would you believe that? He didn't sit down and give a chumashir. He didn't go on Zoom and give a chumashir to figure out to say a chiddush to say, oh, what should I say tomorrow in the parasha?
When did it happen?
During Kriyas HaTorah. In the middle.
What happened? Say it again. I'm sorry.
Chaim Kanievsky. I forgot the name of the sefer. I think it's called Birchas Peretz. I don't remember. I forgot the name of the sefer. It's a gewaldige sefer. On Chumash, on the parasha.
Okay.
Verluch on the parasha.
Okay.
All of those verluch, okay. He's mechadesh in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. As they're laning in shul on Shabbos, as they're laning, when he's listening to the Kriyas HaTorah, these ideas come into his mind, and then after Shabbos, he puts it on paper and he writes it up. Okay? He doesn't give a shiur on Chumash on Zoom on Torah time and sit for a half an hour thinking, what am I going to say tonight? Okay? He's mechadish to chedushim shas Kriyas HaTorah, because Kriyas HaTorah is the siyata d'shmaya. Now, by the way, halacha l'mayis, this happens all the time, they're doing Hagba Glila, Hagba. And all of a sudden, the guy who does Hagba, you, looks like the Sefer Torah is about to fall. Or the Sefer Torah, you know, they're doing Galila and it's getting crinkled. Are you allowed to actually touch the parchment in order to prevent it from getting ruined? So what do you see more often than not? They hold a towel. They take a talus.
Right.
Okay, why? Because
right.
Everyone
right.
knows, they're asking why you take a talus. So they'll say to you without blinking, they're going to say to you, Shabbos Yudalit. You never heard that? A guy is doing Hagba, is not going so well. The Gabbai, right away, he puts the same way over here. Bishol Liman is listening to us. He's listening to us over here on the computer. Is he still listening? I have to see if he's still listening. He disappeared. Okay, he's hiding there. Yeah, he's still listening. He's still there.
Yeah.
So they do Hagba, and right away the guy goes and he tries to take the parchment to prevent it from falling on prevented. So what does he do? So what does he do? So they hold onto the parchment. So you say, how are you allowed to do that? Why do you take a talus? He takes a talus in order not to touch the parchment, the raw parchment. Why is he taking a talus? So you ask him, why talus? He says to you, without a blink, Shabbos Yud Dalit. Omid Aleph, the bottom of the page. Ha'oichei Sefer Torah Aram, Nikba Aram, Aram Me'oisa Mitzvah. The truth is, you look over in the Mefarsh, they tell you that it's not necessarily true. That's only if you hold on to the parchment for no good reason. But if you're touching the parchment because you're afraid the Sefer Torah is going to fall, it's going to get ruined, then it is permitted. Okay, obviously, if you don't need to do so, the Sefer Torah is not in great danger. You don't want to give Marasai. You're going to be careful. You're not going to touch the parchment. But meikar hadin you can touch. And where else is a major, major nafkamina? A sefer. This halacha that you're not allowed to touch the parchment is only b'shas kriyas haTorah in the tzibur. But when you use the Sefer Torah for fixing or for private purposes, not at the time of tefillah b'tzibur, then the many poskim amater.
Right.
You know the other classic example?
Myself, sure.
Know the other classic example is you're not allowed to kiss. It says the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to kiss a child in the shul, in the Beis HaKnesses. Me'ikar hadin. The only time it's forbidden to kiss a child is b'shas tefillah. When the davening is over, and they already sang Adon Olam, and everyone, they made the announcements, and everyone's on the way out of shul, and then your grandchildren come to you, it's not a hiddur to kiss them at that in the shul, but it's not usur. The ikar is of kissing grandchildren in the Beis HaKnesses is only b'shas tefillah. Likewise, the issur of holding the Sefer Torah Orum is b'shas kriyas haTorah hagba. But when it's not b'shas kriyas haTorah, b'shas tefillah, and you're taking out the Sefer Torah for repair, things like that, then there is no prohibition to touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah. Vayitin the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara over here says, hey, gozer b'yishu, which halacha will they goizer first? In other words, we have over here two halachas. We have a halacha that that stam yodayim askoniyosim. And then there is a halacha that if you touch a Sefer Torah, your hands become a sheni. Which one of these halachas did with the mesakein first? Hey, gozabresha. Ilema gozabresha. Seu goiza the halacha. If you touch a Sefer Torah, the halacha with the whole gozabresha, which halacha? Ilema ha the stam yodayim. If you're going to tell me that they will first goizer, that stam yodayim are shmiyos, then there would be absolutely no need to be goizer that if you touch a Sefer Torah, your hands become a sheni. Because your hands are a sheni even if you do not touch a Sefer Torah. Why would there be a special need to be goyzer that if you touch a Sefer Torah, your hands become a sheni? I don't even need to touch a Sefer Torah. Even if I don't touch a Sefer Torah, my hands are a sheni. Ilei b'chagozer b'reisha, ilei b'chagozer b'reisha, kevin since, t'hach gozer b'reisha, hasu lomeli, what do I need to go to the halacha? Ella, it must then be hach gozer b'reisha. They were only originally goyzer that if you touch a Sefer Torah, your hands become a sheni. But stam yodayim are not shniyos. Stam yodayim are tohar. You can daven, you can learn, you can eat, touch food. You don't need to wash netilas yodayim. Stam yodayim are tohar. The only time your hands become tamei is if you touch a Sefer Torah. It was an enactment in order to get people away from touching Sefer Torah. But then they saw that stam people became lax in their hands, so they were goyzer. Okay, let's remember the halacha of tulyayim. A tulyayim, a person goes to mikvah, and the sun has not, and the stars have not yet come out. He has the status of a sheni. This was a takana. They were goyzer in the attic of Hanani ben Chizkiah ben Garoin on that day. Frek the Gemara, we do not need Hanania ben Chizkiah ben Garoin to make a takana that a person goes to mikvah and he is waiting for it, say Sakuchavim is a sheni. This is a din de oiraisa. This Hashem was goyzer. We do not need Hananya. Frek digmor tulyom, tulyom de oiraisu. Tersiv, it says in the pasuk, ubo Hashemish vitoher. This is the first daf in Shas. Remember that? Remember that, Shimon?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the first daf in Shas? Ubo Hashemish vitoher. Shiloh, what does it mean vitoher? Does it mean be Hashem shoy? V'tihar yoyma, they had a whole dilemma how to translate this pasuk. But any of the end, it's a pasuk. And for the Gemara, you write, some mikan tfulyam. The Gemara says, you write. Because of this difficulty, we have to make a revision that it's a mistake. When we learned yesterday, there were 18 takonas, that there were goyzer in the attic, we really only learned 10 of them. We did not learn all 18, we learned 10 of them. And from the 10 that we learned, there's an error. We only really learned 9. We have to delete number this halacha because this is not a gezerah. This is a daraisa. This is a mistake. So we go from asara mi yodea, we're down now to tisha mi yodea. Tisha mi yodea, tisha yarche leida. The side of tisha yarche leida is found here in Masechta Shabbos and daf yudal on the base where the Gemara goes down from 10 to 9. We go down 10 to 9, we have over here the 9. Vaita. Another halacha, a food that became tummy in liquid. If a liquid touches a food, the food becomes tummy. If the liquid came in, how did the liquid become tummy? If the liquid made contact with a sheretz. What is a sheretz? A sheretz is an avatoma, which means the liquid is a rishon. So if the liquid touches the food becomes a sheni. This is a din de oiraisa. How could you tell me that this halacha was enacted in the attic of Hananya ben Goron, when Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Goron, when it's a din de oiraisa? If the liquid, any liquid that can be consumed, which comes, the Gemara Pasuk goes on to say it becomes tamei. El the Gemara says, you write, b'mashkin haba machmas yodayim. In Achnami, the liquid is only Tomei Midrabana. Look what happened. A person wakes up in the morning. He does not wash Negelvasa. So what is he? Stam Yodayim Shniyos. The fact that we hold that his hands are Shniyos, is this a Deiraisa or is this a Drabana? This is purely a drabanan. Midaraisa, just because a person, his hands are stam yodayim, does not mean that midaraisa, his hands are a sheni. Midaraisa, he's tohor. But midrabanan, his hands are a bit of a sheni. His hands then went and touched a liquid. What is the halacha? If a stam yodayim touch a liquid, the liquid becomes a rishon. So that's also a midrabanan. Now this liquid, which is a rishon, touches food. They were masakein, they were goyzer in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Goroin. The food becomes a sheni. The chiddush is, it's like a gzera le gzera. You're doing gymnastics. You're starting off with yodayim, which midoraisa are really 100% tahor. You're telling me a chiddush that the yodayim are tamei, ashen, and then you're telling me a chiddush that when yodayim touch water, minatayro, nothing happens. Ashen, he cannot make a liquid into a shlishi. But you're telling me not only does the liquid become tamei, the liquid becomes a rishon. And not only that, when this rishon now touches a food, the food becomes a sheni. So you know how many layers of chumra you've gone through? You've created a make-believe tumah, and you told me that when that make-believe tumah touches a liquid, there's going to be another make-believe tumah. And not only is it going to be a make-believe tumah of a shlishi, which it should be, it's going to be upgraded to a rishon, and then to use that to make the food into a sheni. I mean, you've gone through multiple chumras of tumah that don't really exist in this world. How could you do such a thing like this? That is why they needed to take a vote. Hillel did not want to do this. Hillel wanted to keep all the shuls open. He wanted there should be no such thing as social distancing. There should be no such thing as Zoom. We should all be able to be together in real, in the flesh, and share from each other's germs. But yet, they took a vote. They took a vote in the attic of Hananya ben Goroy ben Chizkiya that they're going to enact multiple degrees of harchaka in the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. They took a vote, and that was it. Everyone had to follow party line, whether you like it or not. That's the big problem today. The big problem today is, this is a gefährliche problem in society, is that there are a lot of rabbinic organizations that have differences of opinion, and what they're supposed to do is take a vote and have a majority, and whoever the majority is, that's going to be the policy of the organization. But instead, these rabbinic organizations, they everyone that has a different opinion, they don't want to take a vote, and they don't give out a clear message what everyone should do. There's something in the Torah called the Sanhedrin, and the Achrei Ravim Lahatos, and you have a difference of opinion, but the way this works is you take a vote, and the majority wins, and everyone else has no choice but to follow the majority. So over and over, I see this over and over, these rabbinic organizations, they people look to them for guidance, and when you go for them, what's the halacha, what should we do? They say, well, we have 10 members on the board, and 5 say this, 3 say this, and 1 says that, so what could we tell you? Excuse me, get your act together. Take a vote, decide the majority, and the majority is now going to be the policy of the organization, of the rabbinic organization, telling you what to do. What's the big deal? Why is that so complicated? Isn't that the way Sanhedrin operated? Isn't that what it says in the Torah? Why is everyone have to be a superstar, a renegade, and tell you, well, this is my opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of the organization. I'm telling you my opinion. And this is my opinion. That's my opinion. And everyone walks away. Well, what's the bottom line? Why can't we just have a consensus? Okay, Vaita. I sound like an apikoros? Do I sound like an apikoros? Vaita. So what's the case? Why indeed were Chazal so machmir to make such a gezerah? The answer is because sometimes you have a liquid that's tamei min haTorah. For example, the mashka of a sheretz. If a sheretz drowns in water, so the water is tamei min haTorah. Or let's say you have a zav, and the zav gives out spittle, gives out reik, gives out some bodily liquid. That the mashke hazav, a zav, a nida is tamei min haTorah. Not everyone knows how to differentiate between water that came in contact with stam yodayim and mashke that came from a zav, a nida, or a mashke that came in contact with the dead sheretz. So because of the confusion, Chazal said one size fits all. Mashke, that is Tomei no matter what, and has the power to be Metame Echolim. It's a Takonim Midraban. Okay, we're going to stop over here. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank Shlomi Rabinowitz, Shem Obmeister, Abishol Zev Lobel, and Rabbi Shaul Lehman for coming and joining us. Mishum tomorrow at 8:20. Tomorrow we're going to continue. If anyone has nothing to do, you can come. You can join me tomorrow in the Kollel, in the morning Kollel. We have also a share. If you want, tell me. I'll send you the link. You can come. You can join Shlomi Rabinowitz.
Tomorrow night is my father's yard site.
Tomorrow night is your father's yard site. So we'll learn Lezecher Ule'ili Nishmasai. May his neshama have an aliyah. And
Mordechai
Eliyahu ben
Shragafaito.
Mordechai Eliyahu?
Yes.
Mordechai Eliyahu ben Harav Shragafaito. Le'ili Faivel. Shragafaito. Shragafaito. Shragafaito.
Faitel.
Shraga Faitel. I never heard that name. Shraga Faitel. May his neshama have an aliyah. May have a licht the Gan Eden. And the zchus.
Faitel. I never heard such a name like that.
My son, who my grandfather's yahrzeit was last night, his name is Shraga Faivish.
Faivish?
Yeah.
Faivish.
Faivish, I think it's the same thing.
As an Ura.
You said,
as an Ura.
Faivish and Faitel are two different.
Faitel. Yeah. You said Faitel. When Shraga Faitel, you said. Faitel.
Faitel.
Second verse,
no.
Faitel. He was the glove of Zabalim.
Kashem Shemakabal Schar Ladrisha, Kach Makabal Schar Alaprisha. By not saying Kaddish and not going to Shul and doing the right thing, what you're supposed to be doing, this is the biggest schus. This is the greatest schus for his neshama.
So, Rav Shlomo, honestly, so that means you're going to continue not to go out. You're not going to down for the moment. So
of course not. He's the only one. There are people sitting shiva. They have no minyanim, no garnished, no levayas.
Yeah.
There are no levayas.
Yeah.
There's no kaddish. There's no. They don't, even, they don't have the whole shiva, nothing. What?
Do I stay a private kilmole?
No, you don't. No such thing. You don't say private kilmole. No. You don't say a, I don't think so. Never heard that.
Like a licht.
Of course you have the yahrzeit licht. Kishem shemekabel schar ladrisha kach mekabel schar laprisha. Devarim pshutim ad me'oid. This is the greatest schus. You do what you're supposed to do. There's no biggest schus.
Your grandfather was a rav?
My grandfather was the rav of the shtetl, yeah.
We are which city?
Zabalin.
I'm with Slap.
Where's that? Where's Zabalin?
It's near Maranovich.
All right, Rabbi Isai, another day. Any good news? What is doing with your net niece? How is she? Shlomi.
Still in bad shape.
What do you mean bad shape? Any improvement?
I believe she's still in the same condition as she was. No, I don't know. I don't really know.
What?
Now I heard my grandson has 103.9.
How old is he?
And they went to the doctor. He tested negative on everything else.
What do you mean everything else?
They didn't.
Besides Corona, they don't have the test.
What, did he test positive for Corona?
No, they don't have to test handier for him. They can't test with that.
Shavu Rafua Shalema.
It's Aliza's son.
How old is he?
15.
So what does the doctor say? Is the doctor worried?
What did the doctor say? Keep an eye on him. My daughter's very concerned because she has 5-6 boys in the house. And a husband and her.
Just be concerned about the 6 boys alone. Forget about it.
Don't worry, he'll be okay. Listen, they would have got it by now. They would have got it by now.
103.9.
I'm sorry?
103.9.
They would have got it by now. The other ones would have got it by now. Don't worry about it. Just, it'll be okay.
He has 103? 103?
So, that's not so much.
Yeah, that's very high fever.
No, it's not for a child. Not for a child.
15-year-old?
It's not so terrible. Don't worry, it's not so terrible. He'll be okay.
It is a okay.
We'll be okay, don't worry.
Can we get to Shav Amayim, yeah?
Yirachmiel Meir ben Esther Ita.
Yirachmiel Meir ben Esther, what's the other name? Ita. Yirachmiel Meir ben Esther Ita. L'refua Shalema. All right, good night. Thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Stay
okay,
safe. Stay safe. Don't do any averus. Be good.